Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Throwback, where I tell a story about how being a chimney sweep may have just changed my life. And we wrap it up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get to it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 203. Hey, Laura.
Hi, Shauna.
How are you doing? How are the boys? How's life?
Hi, we're good. We're good. My mom is in town right now.
Awesome.
Yeah, she's here. Actually, she's here through next week. So it's nice to have her around. Grandma Susan is always a very welcome sight for my boys, especially Augie. It has a little bit to do with the fact that she buys them lots of toys. Always.
As grandmas are supposed to do.
Yeah, she always shows up with, like, gifts for them. And so, like, the first thing Augie says is, like, did you bring me a present? And she has this tendency to take them into stores and kind of get them something from every store she goes into. So
yeah,
now, like, she has introduced him to Marshalls.
Marshalls is a good one.
We were walking down the street the other day without my mom. We were just on a walk and Augie saw Marshalls. He's like, I want to go into Marshalls. And I was like, what? What 3-year-old says, I want to go into Marshalls? And for people who don't know, like, or don't have it in their area, I think it's nationwide in the U.S., but, like, if you're outside of the U.S., it's Marshalls is like a discount store. I don't know what, how would you explain Marshalls?
Yeah, like a discount retailer. They get clothes and there's our toys, shoes, stuff from brands and sell them at a discount.
Yeah, sort of like overstock or stuff that they make too much of. I love Marshalls, so I can't blame them. But yeah, my mom took him into Marshalls and got him a present. So now every time I want to go to Marshalls. It's McDonald's and Marshalls around here. So it's been nice having her around. And other than that, it's just been like the sleep weirdness still over and over.
For both of them or for one of them?
Well, so Sebastian, the 14-month-old, is doing okay at night. Like, he's actually sleeping through the night again, finally, which is great. But his naps are suddenly super weird. Like, he'll go a couple days where he'll have, like, super long naps twice a day, like 2 2-hour naps in a day, a couple days in a row. And then he'll reject his naps, like, altogether, like at least one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know what kind of day it's going to be. Usually it's when you, like, need to go somewhere that he's like, you know what? Today's going to be a 2-hour nap day.
Right.
When you have a schedule. On the days where I need to get stuff done at home around the house, he's like, you know what? I don't need to nap this afternoon. Just don't need it.
How is he so tuned in to what you need?
I know. There was one day this week where the afternoon nap just wasn't happening, right? It just wasn't happening. We were doing our check-ins and stuff. And my mom was like, let me try. This is like her fatal flaw as a grandma. She always thinks she knows better, right? So she's like, let me try. I bet I can get him down. I was like, okay, whatever. Like, we had been doing the sleep training check-ins and stuff, and it wasn't working. So I was like, okay, sure. Like, you doing whatever you want to do is not going to change our sleep training, you know, in the long term. So knock yourself out. And she went up there and tried to, like, lie down on the couch with him.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, Corey came in. He's like, where's Sebastian? And I was like, oh, he's upstairs with my mom. She's trying to get him to sleep. And he's like, oh, but the sleep training, she's lying on the couch. I'm like, trust me, it's not going to work. We don't have to worry because it's not going to work. And it didn't.
Yeah.
About, like, 40 minutes later, my mom came down and she was like, well, we were lying down on the couch and he just wouldn't put his head down. And he just was babbling away and talking and talking. And then he turned to the window and I've put up foil on the window, like, in my attempts to fix his sleep. I've like put foil all over one of his windows to try to black out his room more.
Oh, okay.
She's like, and he leaned over and he opened the window shade and he tore back the foil and said hi to the person walking outside.
Good job, Grandma Susan. You did it.
Yeah. So anyway. But that was one of those, like, perfect situations where everyone won in a way, because it's like she got to feel like she did her thing. And I got to feel like I knew her thing wasn't going to work. And apparently the baby was fine with one nap that day. So there you go. But no, naps, I think he's about to drop to one nap. I think, like, by this point, Augie had already dropped to one nap. Like, I don't remember. Do you remember when your girls dropped to one nap?
No.
Yeah. No one remembers that shit, like, past a couple months, right? Like, you're like, right. That's a long memory ago. I think Augie went down to one nap either around this time or before. So, you know, he's in the window that it would be normal to drop down to a single nap, but I'm like holding on to it because we're in this Mommy and Me class that meets at 11 a.m. on Tuesdays.
Oh, okay.
And I want to like get through the session before we switch to one nap.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Right? Anyway, but he's probably telling me that that's stupid and I should just follow his lead. But I paid money for this class, damn it.
Exactly.
Okay, so, but anyway, that's all natural and normal. And I'm sure what I'm about to tell you about Augie is natural and normal, but boy, is it more frustrating. And that is that apparently the Terminix shadow busting team is not like a sufficient deterrent right now because he's still waking up almost every night. And either me or Corey has to like go in and sleep next to him on the nugget or stay in there for a long time. And it's like every night. And he won't come to our room. Like, you know, in desperation, I've been like, just, Augie, do you want to just come sleep between mommy and daddy? No, you stay here. I don't want to sleep on your nugget, though.
Yeah.
Like, will you just, like, we sleep trained you too well. You don't want to leave your room, but, like, come.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't have answers because we're so sleep deprived that we don't have like time to do research on it. So anyway.
Yeah, that was like me a couple months ago when I was just like, what, like 21 days straight of interrupted sleep. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. And finally, Cece was like, let me listen to lullabies all night. Like she, it came to the point where she had to come up with a solution, basically, because I was just useless. So I feel you.
Yeah, maybe we should try the lullabies. Who knows? But he's really particular about music. So I feel like it might bother. You know, he's not used to listening to music at night. So, but you know, at this point, anything's worth a try.
Here's my other suggestion. Get that kid a full size bed.
Yeah.
So when you go in the middle of the night, like I do, crawl into another bed at least. I don't know.
No, that's actually on my list of things to do is like get him a big full-size bed so that
I can sleep in there. Okay.
Yeah. We're just kind of with the renovation, which, by the way, is almost done. Like,
yay!
We're getting really close. Like, we can use our own bathroom again. And, oh, yeah, this week we got our stove installed. That was huge.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, we're getting there, right? We're getting there, and things are starting to calm down a little bit. But we're also, like, out of money.
Yes.
Because,
yes,
you know, it went over budget, like anything does. And yeah, so I'm like, oh, maybe we hold off on those big purchases for a little bit. Because, you know, when you get the mattress and the bed, it adds up.
Mm-hmm. True.
So, but yeah, I think that's definitely in the near future is a big bed for his room.
Yeah.
So I can sleep in it.
Exactly.
But anyway, that was our week. Shauna, I want to hear about your week. What's been going on with y'all?
Oh, we're fine. The preschool plague continues to get us.
Boy.
I'm still a little bit under the weather. I like took Afrin before recording today because I was so stuffed up. I probably still sound kind of nasally. I'm sorry. I tried to clear everything up before we recorded, but I'm still like, it's very frustrating.
Oh, girl. I think I've had the worst allergies, like the worst allergies for weeks. And like, again, apologies to everyone listening, but I can't really take anything. I mean, I can take things. I can do Afrin. I probably should have done that. But I can't take like Sudafed, which is what I really want because I'm afraid it's going to mess with my milk supply.
Right.
Even though it doesn't matter. Like my baby is 14 months old. Like he doesn't actually need my breast milk, but still like, I don't know. That's my own thing. But I haven't been taking Sudafed, but I'm just like, I feel like I just don't have sinuses. Like I don't have sinus cavities. They're just gone. And so I am all like very nasally too. So, but you sound fine to me. I'm sorry that you've been sick.
Oh, well, that's good. Yay for Afrin. It really does help. And I feel like I'm breathing really well for the first time in a couple of days, which is nice. But, you know, you can't use that stuff too much.
Yeah.
Because it backfires and makes things worse. It's so cruel. So cruel.
Yeah, it's got the rebound thing, but it works so well. It's scary how well it works, actually.
Yes. Anyway, so, all right, what I'm going to talk about this week is...
Wait, you didn't want to talk about decongestants? This isn't like a allergy podcast now?
You know I love my decongestants, but this is a different topic. Okay. Another big topic that starts with the letter D.
Ooh.
Yes. Death. No one died. Don't worry.
Jesus, Shauna.
Sorry.
I'm like, who died? What's happening?
Nobody died. Nobody died.
Okay.
But when you have kids, at some point, they become aware of the fact that you as their parents could die.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been trying to avoid this topic with Elle for a really long time. She's six now, and she's brought it up a couple times before. You know, she gets sad thinking about what happens if one of us dies or whatever. And the other night, she brought it up again. I haven't heard this topic in a really long time. And usually she brings it up around Steve, and I don't have to deal with it, really.
Yeah.
but she brought it up to me before bedtime, and it was really... It's so hard. If any other parent has like gone through this with their kid yet, you know, like it's not a fun thing. And I remember feeling really worried and scared about this when I was a kid, too. So I tried to be so sympathetic and sensitive to her. Before bed, she was like crying in her bed. Yeah. And I came in and I was like, what's going on? And she's like, I'm so worried if you guys die, like what's going to happen? And when are you going to die? And just sobbing. Oh. She's such a sensitive little soul.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, the reality of it is like, I don't know. Nothing is certain. And I try to be as truthful with her as possible. Mm-hmm. But I also want to be comforting. Like, I don't want to be like, well, honey, who knows? Like, one of us could die tomorrow. Like, I don't want to tell her that.
Well, life is meaningless and we all die. Could happen in the next 5 minutes. There could be a meteor. Don't worry about it too much. Go to sleep. Bye.
Yeah, good night.
Good night.
Oh, yeah. So I thought back to, like, my childhood, and definitely the refrain was, like, we as our parents, we're not going to die for a long time, right?
Yeah.
Most people die when they're really old and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So that's kind of like, I tried to acknowledge her feelings. Like, I tried to channel like Dr. Becky and Janet Lansbury.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I understand that sounds like really worrying and upsetting. And I can see why you're upset by that thought. We're not going to die for a really long time. I'm going to be your mom and dad's going to be your dad for a really long time, you know, and whatever, trying to really, really comfort her. And, you know, I just kind of like absorbed her feelings and accepted her feelings and let her cry and do all of that. And she eventually moved on and we went on to book time and everything. But afterwards, I was like, shit, like, what if we do die? What if one of us dies? Mm. Like, we do not have our ducks in a row as parents.
Yeah.
So I was like, Steve, this was like a wake up call for me. We need to, you know, get stuff in order. And the first of all, like the easiest thing for us to do was to like up our life insurance each. Because before we were kind of paying for like the minimum amount.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. I don't think that much money would be quite enough. If one of us goes, that could be really stressful. So we both just went right away and like increased our life insurance to like the max amount that we could.
Do you have that through work or?
We both have a policy through work. Yeah. And I think the max amount they allow is like 10 times your income or something.
Mm-hmm.
So that made me feel better. And then like the next thing we still haven't done yet, need to get on this, is like setting up some kind of living trust, a will, a direction of guardianship, you know, like where would they go if we die? So it's all like stuff I hate thinking about and I hate talking about. I'm sorry to even bring it up, but it's like this reality that slaps you in the face when you're a parent that you can't really ignore. I mean, I guess I've been ignoring it the last 6.5 years, but I don't want to ignore it. I want to take it on and tackle it and figure stuff out and stuff. So that's next on our agenda.
I think that's good. It's a good reminder. We are like 90% done with it. We hired someone, you know, like we were referred to someone to get all of our like trust and will and directives and all that stuff together. And like, there's just like some papers we have to sign and some other things we have to do. And we have been sitting on it for like almost a year.
Really?
Shauna. It's, well, we moved. Like, we were doing it right before we moved. And then we're like, well, shit, we have to change all the addresses and all that stuff. And, you know, then it's just been busy and it's hasn't been at the top of our minds. But yeah, it's now that you're doing it. Ooh, if you do it, I'll do it. How's that
okay.
for a plan? We'll get it done together.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we should hold each other accountable.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay. And yeah, I got to talk to Steve about it, get those ducks in a row, and I'm sure I'll report back. And you too, because you're going to do it too when we're done.
Yes, okay, we will. So,
yeah. So, you know, she's moved on from it. You know, these things and these scary thoughts hit her and she feels them so hard. And then she moves on because she's a kid and she's fine now. But yeah, next time she brings it up, I want to know that we are in a better place and like more prepared for all of that stuff. Yeah. So that's pretty much my check-in for the week. Should we move on to our special segment?
Yeah, let's do it.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP. All right, we are back, and our special segment this week, again, is throwback, but this time it's Shauna's turn to tell us a story from her past that informs her parenting today. Shauna?
Mm-hmm.
I love hearing your throwback stories, so I am sitting here with some popcorn. Not really, because that would be really bad for a podcast to hear me crunching popcorn, but...
So bad.
My imaginary popcorn. I can't wait to hear what you've got in store for us today.
All right. This story has been on my mind recently because my girls are doing extracurricular activities lately now that the mm-hmm. pandemic has subsided a bit. You know, Elle's been taking karate, getting Cece into some swim lessons, and it's just bringing me back to a time in my life when I did an extracurricular activity that I'm going to tell you about now.
Ooh, was it underwater basket weaving?
How did you know? You spoil all my stories. Yes, that was so hot in Phoenix in the 90s. No, it wasn't. Okay, so this is 1990 in Phoenix, Arizona, where I grew up. I was in eighth grade, or maybe like going into eighth grade that summer.
Okay.
And as an eighth grader, I was into a few things extracurricular wise, right? I played softball, something I'd done my whole life.
Yes.
I played the flute, which I'd done for years.
Me too.
And I had just dabbled in little things here and there. You know, I took archery for like 2 weeks one summer or something like that, right? Just not much. But mostly I was like really good at things I tried. You know, I was just a confident kid and I would just like go for it and be like, hey, I'm pretty good for a beginner. Beginner's luck. And that gave me confidence anyway. So that's the beginnings of this story. So that summer, two girls on my softball team who are sisters told me about this local theater that they had joined. Something that the theater did was like camps for kids that lasted a few weeks. And then at the end of the camp, they would like put on a musical, right? It was like a musical theater camp. Everyone who signs up has a part, gets to be sing, dance, act, all of that jazz. And we went to see their production of Into the Woods. And I was like, well, that looks fun. And these two sisters aren't very good at this, but... They seem like they're having a good time. I could probably do better than them, right? Like, I'm very cocky at this age. Like,
competitive.
Oh, God, I know.
Competitive from the get-go.
I know. It's so ridiculous. But I should mention I had zero theater experience. Like, I don't know where I got such a big head. Like, we had done Peter and the Wolf in sixth grade at elementary school, and I was cast as, like, the grass. Like, I had to lay down behind the grass and, like, shimmy the cardboard grass. Like, that was my role.
Iconic. The grass.
Yes.
Though.
Very iconic. It really made the play. No singing experience except for like elementary school music class where you sing like There's a Hole in the Bucket, Dear Liza, that kind of thing. And definitely no dancing experience. Zero dancing talent whatsoever. But I was like, that looks fun. I want to do that. And so I'm like, Mom, will you sign me up for the next theater camp at this theater? It's called TheaterWorks. She's like, okay, let's do it. And they signed me up for this like 3 or 4 week camp over our Christmas break, right? So I had to wait a couple months and sign up over Christmas break. And I was so excited. I got all dressed up for my first day of theater camp. I wore like my overalls with one strap down because was like the style back then. Remember that?
That's like peak 1990 right there.
Yes. Yeah. And remember, I have like these huge glasses because I have terrible astigmatism, but I'm like trying my best to be cool and confident. And I show up in my favorite outfit So I'm feeling good and confident. My mom drops me off at the theater, which had been converted from an old feed barn in West Phoenix. It looked like this big, huge barn. And they told me to go to the rehearsal room, which was like some old hay storage area that had been turned into a costume room. Like it was lined with costumes. So in that regard, it was like very exciting. My costumes from all their shows past. Kind of smelled like an old thrift store and stuff, but it also like kind of smelled like old hay a little bit. It was very, very weird, very small room and nowhere for me to hide. And I look around for my friends who had done Into the Woods in the summer and they're not there. And I look around at everyone in the room and to my horror, I don't know a soul. I don't know a single person in this production. And I'm like, I started to get a bit of anxiety, especially because in the theater world, like everybody knows each other and loves each other, right? Everyone else knew each other, it seemed like. And I was just like, ooh, total outcast. The director, his name was Frank, came in. He was a very slender, flamboyant man with a big brown bushy mustache. And he explained that the show we were doing is called The Roar of the Grease Paint, The Smell of the Crowd. And and that is us as children in Phoenix, Arizona in the 90s. We would be putting on this show that was, quote, an examination of the status quo between the upper and lower classes of British society in the 1960s.
What?
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking football because of the grease paint.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go on. I don't want to derail you. I'm very confused at what this play is going to be about. So I can't wait to find out.
It's a musical. It's about like the upper class versus the lower class in Britain, right? I don't even know. I'm like 12. I don't know jack shit. All I know is he's like, you guys are going to be playing street urchins and working class folks, and you're definitely going to need to learn Cockney accents. I'm like, I had never heard of Cockney in my life. I was like, well, what am I doing here? I was starting to really feel out of place. And my inferiority was made worse as I like really started to take in the cast and crew around me. Our choreographer was a 19-year-old girl named TJ with big blonde, puffy, permed hair and like pink bike shorts. She totally reminded me of DJ Tanner from Full House, but with like big, puffy, blonde, permed hair. She was very cool. And she flirted constantly with Todd and Tim, like the hotshot theater high school guys who had signed up for the music camp. You know, the kind of like guys who are hot in theater terms, like they're not exactly good looking, but they can sing. So everyone like fawns over them and loves them and stuff.
They're theater hot. They're not football hot.
Yeah, they're theater hot.
And I say this as a theater nerd. I mean, like, I'm allowed to say it. These are my people. But yeah,
yeah,
I got it.
I knew you would know. I knew you would know what I was talking about. So that's Todd and Tim, right? And the rest of the kids are like high school kids with theater experience. And I was in junior high. I'm like 12, 13 years old. And so I'm the youngest kid and I felt like such an outcast and just really starting to feel out of my element. And then TJ, the choreographer, is like, let's get in lines and start to learn some dance moves. And she like starts trying to teach us kickball change, dance steps and box steps. And I, oh my God, it's like growing up, it's a miracle I could throw a ball or like write cursive. I mean, I do have talents in a lot of areas and dancing is just not one of them. It's a miracle I could roller skate, right? And so I am like tripping over myself. I have no rhythm. I'm not on time at all. And I'm like just trying to hide at the back of this group, like trying to basically like sink into the wall of old costumes hanging on the edge of the room, like Homer sinking back into the bushes. Oh, it was the worst. I was dying of embarrassment. And then after that, we had to sing a few bars from one of the main characters' songs so we could audition for the roles. Like, it was already obvious that Todd and Tim were getting, like, the main roles. Their character names were Sir, that was the high-class English guy, and Cocky is the lower-class guy's name.
Yeah, are you sure it wasn't Richie and Pory?
I know, right? On the nose, a little on the nose there. But there was one part, pretty big part, that was still up for grabs. It was like Sir's right-hand man or right-hand girl. a part named Kid. And so Frank wanted us all to like go up and sing and alone in front of everybody a few bars of this song.
Is this the first day?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Thrown right in. Because we only have a couple weeks to put on the show, right? So you just like, you get right to it. And so I'm like, they had given us like a 5-minute crash course in Cockney, a 5-minute crash course in this song called Put It in the Book. And oh my God, I get up there and I'm like so nervous. Like my throat just like clenches up and I'm trying to sing in this like lower class British accent. I'm like, put it in a book, put it in a book. My throat is clenching. I like barely croak out some sounds. They're like, thank you. And I'm like, I just hang my head and go back to the back of the room. So needless to say, I left rehearsal that day, maybe for the first time in my life, feeling like I'm not good at something. And that did not feel good. Like, I did not like that feeling at all, right? I'm a straight A student, first chair flautist. I hated it. I hated it. And I begged my parents to let me quit. I'm like, I can't go back. I can't go back there. I don't know if I was honest why I didn't want to go back, you know, because that would have been admitting defeat and admitting embarrassment. I honestly don't remember what I told them, but I was just like, don't let me go back there. And my mom was pretty sympathetic, you know, she's understood my feelings, but she was like, well, let me call the theater and see if we can get a refund. And I was like, oh, that's right. They paid for this thing, you know? Yeah. And at that time, like, I think it was $150. You know, I know it was $150 because that stuck with me. Like, that's a lot of money back then. And I felt like that they had spent a lot of money to put me into this thing. And so I started feeling really guilty. I'm like, oh my God. But also I really wanted out of there. And so I waited and waited. And she got off the phone with the director of the theater. And she's like, I'm sorry, they won't give us our money back. Like they, you know, the spots are all filled. The camp started.
Yeah.
Can't do it. And I was like, oh God, I'm so sorry. You're going to lose that money. They're like, no, we're not losing that money. You're going back to that camp. You're going to finish that acting camp.
Damn straight.
I'm like, what? No. Oh my God. I was so humiliated. But I was like 13. I had no choice, right? Like you do what your parents say. So I drug my feet back into that theater the next rehearsal and stood in the back. And as the days went on, I shyly did my little box steps and I practiced my Cockney accent. And obviously, I found out I did not get that lead role of Kid. Someone else did. I know. I know. It's such a shame to not give that role to someone who sings like a...
Someone so promising.
Someone so promising, yes. But, you know, I did find out they wanted me to be in the general chorus, and I got to play a chimney sweep.
Oh, that's a step up from grass.
Yes, a step up from grass. Thank you.
A literal step up from grass.
I did not know what a chimney sweep was, but I was glad that I didn't get cast as one of the prostitutes, which went to like the 14-year-old girls or whatever.
In college, I had to play a prostitute in the chorus. Yeah. But I was in college. I guess it's a little better. It was like 19.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at the time, it wasn't weird that these 14-year-olds were playing prostitutes. But now looking back, I'm like, geez, Louise. Anyway.
Did they use a euphemism? Because I was like a lady of the night.
Yeah. Probably like lady of the night or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But very promiscuous costumes when the time came for the actual show. So I was a chimney sweep and that gave me a sense of pride. And I continued going to rehearsals and realized that being in the chorus mean you didn't have to really sing out loud alone. So that gave me some confidence. And TJ, the choreographer, turned out to be pretty nice. And she gave me the simplest of dance choreography and kindly placed me in the back row whenever we did like dancing as a group. So that was really nice. And started to make friends with everyone and just have a lot of fun. I got a lot better at singing and dancing, obviously, as the time went on. And I used my studiousness to my advantage. I memorized lyrics and stage movements really fast. And like the director realized I was a competent kid and like gave me some special things to do as the chimney sweep on stage, like little little moments that made the audience laugh and stuff. So, yeah, before I knew it, I was idolizing TJ and falling in love with Todd and Tim and getting really good at my Cockney accent.
Oh, yeah. And, so
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you actually enjoyed yourself in the end.
I did. I did. And by opening night, I dare say I was in love with theater. Like, I never had so much fun in my life as putting on a live show. The live show was so thrilling. And my family came, they brought me flowers, and I felt like a star. And I loved it. And it was not lost on me at the time that something great had come out of being forced to stick with something I was uncomfortable with. Like, that lesson was so clear to me right away, and it kind of has stuck with me all of my life. And for years, I've been glad that my parents didn't let me quit that camp. And I'm kind of glad that they didn't get that refund, right? Because I would have never finished that camp, never fallen in love with theater. And I actually went on to do a lot of theater. I was in a lot of productions there. I did a ton of stuff at high school. I ended up having like leading roles in things in high school.
With or without a Cockney accent?
No more Cockney accents. I did play a couple of old ladies.
I love old lady theater makeup. That's like my favorite thing.
Oh, yeah. Like drawn on wrinkles and stuff. It was ridiculous.
It looks surprisingly good on stage.
Like, yeah.
It's crazy how well it works. Anyway. Okay. So old ladies without Cockney accents.
Yeah. And it just became a really, really big part of my life. It's where I developed a lot of my friendships. And I dare say, I don't know where I'd be now if I hadn't stuck with this, because believe it or not, Steve Yeager, the man I'm now married to, who's the father of my kids, also did shows at Theater Works. Like, we didn't know each other as junior high kids, right? But I had heard his name around the theater. He was friends with a lot of my friends. And I literally remember the first time I ever saw Steve in my life, ever. As like a 13 or 14 year old kid, I was in a play with a friend of his. And his friend was like, oh, my buddy Steve's coming to set today. And he came and popped in to say hi. And I was like, hi, Steve. And like, I don't know. That was the guy I ended up marrying. It's so crazy to me. And we shared a love of theater. Like, in high school, we did plays together in choir and all this stuff. And I moved out to L.A. partly to, like, you know, get into acting and stuff. And that's where we got back together as 20-somethings and fell in love. And, like, I don't know. I just feel like the rest is history, you know?
I mean, yeah, we wouldn't have met, probably.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't have gone to USC for grad school, probably. You wouldn't have been in L.A.
Yeah.
So this podcast wouldn't exist if your mom had gotten that refund.
I know. Oh, my gosh. It's so wild to think about. And obviously, it really resonates with me as a parent now, because often my kids like refuse to want to go to these extracurricular activities I signed them up for. But I know that when they're in class, they're having a great time and learning a lot. Elle is getting so good at karate. She's so strong and focused. And I just have to be like, look, a lesson we learn in life and a lesson I teach you as a parent is commitment. We sign up for something, we pay for something, you do it. You do it. You finish it through. And I'll have obviously some leniency. Like, if at the end she's like, I hate karate more than anything in this world, I'm not going to make her continue it, but at least like fulfill the commitment and see what happens because of it.
I've heard people say, like, give it a season. Like, if you sign up for a season of a sport and your kids don't want to do it at the end of the season, that's fine. They gave it the season to try, right? Which is, I wouldn't know because I can never remember to sign Augie up for anything. But when I do, I will keep that in mind because he is the type to say he wants to do something and then like not want to do it later. You know, not want to get in the car. Transitions are really hard for him. So like all of that is difficult. So Yeah, I'll have to take this lesson from your mom as well, because I think we'll need it.
Absolutely. My kids need it now. So that's my story.
Okay, real quick, remind me what that play was called.
Roar of the Grease Paint, Smell of the Crowd.
Roar of the Grease Paint. This has to be on the internet, right?
Yeah. It's like a major musical. Some pretty popular songs came out of it. Like,
Really?
Oh my God, I can't believe I'm about to sing right now, especially with a sore throat. But it's like, bird in the sky, do you know how I feel? Do you know that song? Yeah. Like old classic singers sing that song. I love that song.
Feeling Good came out of that.
Feeling Good. Yeah.
I guess I shouldn't have made fun of this. This is apparently like a very well-known musical.
No, yeah, it's a legit Broadway musical.
I believed it was legit, but it's just, I had no idea. All right. Well, this just goes to show that like my education in theater is theater and not musical theater. I actually have major gaps in musical theater. So
I just think it's funny that like that's what we were doing as 14 and 15 year olds instead of something like, I don't know, Annie or Charlie Brown. You're a good man, Charlie Brown. Like, but it was fun. I liked it. I got to be a chimney sweep. And I'll be sure to share pictures of myself from my first play ever. I'm sure I have some pics of me as a chimney sweep.
Oh, yes, please do. Okay. Well, that was a wonderful story, and I can't wait to see those pictures. But for now, I think it's time to move on to our BFPs and BFNs. What do you say?
Oh, yes. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although, of course, it is helpful in those situations, too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners, this episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the ringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LOLAVIE.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
We're back, and we're going to wrap this episode up with our weekly BFPs or BFNs for the week. Laura, you're up first. What do you got for us?
I have a BFP.
All right.
It's sort of a dual BFP. We've got a product and an experience that the product made a lot more enjoyable.
Ooh.
So my product, BFP, is a new stroller wagon that we got.
What's a stroller wagon?
So it's like a stroller and a wagon. It's a stroller wagon. It's like a combo, kind of.
Oh, okay. I can't even picture this.
Well, let me send you the listing so you can picture it a little better. Okay. So the one I got is called the Evenflow Pivot Explore All-Terrain Stroller Wagon. I just sent you the link. So we actually got this after returning another one. We got the Jeep stroller wagon thing that it's like a Jeep. I don't remember what it's called, but it's Jeep branded. And it was just like way too big and really hard to push. And it just didn't really work for us. And I did like way too much research and eventually landed on this one. And it's really cool because like you can push or pull it. I think that's what makes it like a stroller wagon.
That's nice, because pulling a wagon gets annoying after a while.
Yes. Yeah. So you can push it, which is what we do most of the time. But then if you need to go over like weird terrain or something, you can flip the handle to go the other way and pull it.
Oh,
it has
cool.
These canopies. So the way it works is the kids like sit facing each other and they have a little like snack tray between them. It's awesome because like Sebastian is getting to the age where it's like he doesn't really want to be in a stroller for that long. Mm-hmm. And Augie's very hit or miss. Like if Sebastian is in a stroller, he wants me in a stroller. Right. But if like it's a jealousy thing, but he doesn't necessarily want to stay in one very long. Mm-hmm. But when they face each other, they can like talk and play and have their snacks. And it's just maybe it's just novel right now. I don't know, but they love it. And it's really making our life a lot easier.
Fun.
Yes.
That sounds awesome.
And I bought it with my Amazon points.
So
it was,
awesome,
quote, free. So, yeah. But anyway, the thing that it really helped with this week was that we went to the beach with the grandmas one
cool.
day.
So it goes over sand well?
It does okay. Like it has one big wheel in the back, you know, or two big wheels in the back. But like in the back, there's big wheels, and in the front, there's smaller wheels.
Mm.
I wouldn't say it's like a beach wagon, but it did okay. Also, we went to Seal Beach, and they've installed these awesome, like, I don't even know how to, like, they're not like wooden walkways. They're like semi-permanent walkways on the sand. They're kind of made out of like a mesh.
Mm.
And it made it so much easier to walk down to the like beach area.
Smart.
So, yeah. But I mean, we loaded that thing, just packed it full of shit for the beach. But it made it so much easier. And we just carried the kids and Augie ran.
Yeah.
And it would have been such a pain in the ass without it. So, yeah, I'm loving our new stroller wagon.
Love it. That sounds so cool. I wish I would have known about that a couple years ago. I feel like it's I feel like Elle is too big for it at this point, probably.
Yeah. It goes up to 55 pounds on either side. But I think from like a height and maturity point of view, she probably is.
Mm-hmm. Although she is all about the wagon we do have. I mean, we have an ordinary beach wagon and she loves it. So, but yeah, I like the option to be able to push too.
Yeah. And it pushes really nicely. Like it's not as good as a like just a regular old stroller because it's obviously like twice as long, but it does push really easily. Like it has good maneuvering. So highly recommend it.
Cool.
I'm going to send you a picture of Augie trying to hitch a ride on the wagon at the beach.
Uh-huh.
So this is a picture of Augie not accepting the fact that we had to put all of our crap in the wagon. He wanted a ride back.
Yeah, he's not happy.
And then I'm going to send this one picture of Sebastian in the 5 minutes he kept his sun hat on. It's so cute.
Oh my gosh, he's so cute. Aww, we need to get our kids together at the beach one of these days soon.
Yes, we do. They love the beach. Love, love, love. So that is my BFP for this week.
Awesome.
Shauna, what do you got? BFP or BFN?
Well, I have a BFP.
Oh, good.
So I have spoken a little bit about swimming at the YMCA. Last week, I talked about signing Cece up for a swimming class. That was like for 6 to 36 months old kids and not realizing she was too old for whatever.
Yeah.
But my BFP this week is that I did just like let her start that class. I was like, oh, well, she seems like she's 3. So she started her swimming class. We have been going to the pool for a recreation swim.
Ooh.
because, you know, we haven't had our membership for like 2 years at the YMCA because of COVID or whatever.
Yeah,
numbers are down. And so I'm like, you know what? Let's go back. Let's go back and swim. And we did that. And it has been so fun. Like, the girls absolutely love it. Cece's doing awesome in her swim classes. And Elle is in her element because water and swimming is her favorite thing in the whole world, and it's just a joy.
She's such a fish.
It's like she didn't even forget how to swim, basically. Like, she jumped back in that pool and was just like swimming around, and yeah, it's just been really fun, and I love it. I love getting in the water and swimming. The water in that pool is like 94 degrees. It's a therapeutic pool.
Perfect.
It's nice and warm. It's perfect. And it's just a joy to bring something back into our lives that's been missing for the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, this is inspiring me to look up what the schedules are at our local YMCA, because we have one that's walking distance. The Glendale YMCA is like, I walk by it all the time.
Wow, that's awesome.
So, yeah, maybe I should do that, because as I mentioned, like, I had tried or I had considered signing Augie up for swim classes at the Rose Bowl. There's like an aquatic center there. And apparently, like, people who were signing in at midnight, like, it was like Coachella tickets, you know, like they couldn't get it.
Oh, my gosh.
So I didn't even bother. But that might be a chiller option. So,
yeah.
And
it's nice to have it close by, because honestly, taking your kids swimming is an ordeal anyway, because you got to like bring all your stuff and the towels and the showering and the changing. It's such a thing. It might be nice to just go a couple minutes from your house and just do all of that. And
just throw everything in the stroller wagon and go.
Exactly. And even if you don't get him in a swim class right away, just you taking him there and letting
him
swim around. You know, before Cece started her actual class, I'd taken them a couple times and she wore her like Paw Patrol water wings vest thingy and was exploring the water and just like really having a great time, and ventured to take it off and doing, you know, I can teach her little things here and there too. So, and I'm sure you can with him too, even before he's in a class.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. You've inspired me. I'm going to look into this and
do
I will check back.
Yay. But yeah, that's my fun BFP for the week. And I think that's it for our episode. Although, Laura, you have a 5-star review to read, yeah?
You know I do.
All right.
Okay, this is from Smashly. She says, a must for new moms, 5 stars. This is my absolute favorite mom podcast. A hilarious, judgment-free zone. These ladies are incredible and informative. They got me through my first pregnancy, and now 5 months postpartum, I look forward to their new episodes every week. Thank you both for all that you do. Well, thank you, Smashly.
Thank you so much, Smashly. I really appreciate you taking the time to leave us that review. And listeners, if you would do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review at Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to the show, that would be so wonderful and helpful for us to grow our audience, to help new listeners take a chance on a show they've never listened to before. They really, really make a difference. And we so appreciate everyone who's left us a review. And if you do leave us a 5-star review, we might read it on an upcoming episode. So head on over and do that. And if there's anything you want to reach out to us about, please do. We love your questions, comments, feedback about the show. Laura, where can everyone reach us?
We are on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok at BFP Podcast. We have a website, bigfatpositivepodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, you can always throw a voice memo in there. Just send it to contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com. And finally, if you want to join a group of amazing folks on the internet, just search Facebook for Big Fat Positive Community. It's a private group, so you have to answer those membership questions to join. And then once you do, and we make sure you're not a robot, you'll be sent straight through to all the really wonderful, supportive, just heartwarming conversations we're having in there.
Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Have a great week. Bye.
Bye.